you have it then, folks. The 2017-2018 La Liga season is finished. Well, basically finished. It is just a case of everything settling up early, and there are some real chunky points gaps to discuss at the moment. 11 points for the title, 15 points for the Champions League, and 8 points for relegation. We'll be sipping pina coladas on the beach with 3 games to spare on Market English Podcast. I on La Liga, I'm your host Mark Merrow, as per usual, and joining me this week is Ewan McTeer to talk about, well, we'll go on to the Madrid derby, Ewan. I think that's probably the best place to start.
Yeah, it really is. It was, one of the last important games of the season. As you mentioned, everything's kind of been wrapped up nice and early, and we can go and get those drinks in the beach ordered.
Absolutely. Well, luckily, next week there is Barcelona-Valencia, which will keep our attention. There's also some European games to keep an eye on as well. And while the Champions League looks kind of done and dusted for the quarterfinals, we'll be talking later on in the show in focus about the Europa League and exactly what's going on in there, because there's plenty to keep an eye on in terms of Atletico's opponent Sporting Lisbon, plenty of crisis there, and who Atletico might want in the semi-final. So we'll talk about that later, but as I said, we'll get on to the Madrid derby then. 1-1 it finished at the Estadio Santiago Bernabeu on Sunday. Kind of almost a mirror image of last season's game. Pretty much the same time of season that it happened. Griezmann again popping up with an equaliser for Atletico. Ewan, this was almost the Madrid, or Real Madrid, should I say, that we've seen earlier in the season. Now, 30 shots on goal to 9 for Atletico. Played well, a lot of pressure. They just couldn't really take their chances.
Yeah, it was like Real Madrid at the start of the season, better than the other team, and just came up with a bit of poor finishing or up against a very inspired goalkeeper. And obviously we know how good Jan Oblak is, but some of the saves he made in this game were special even for him. And yeah, it was Real Madrid were the better team in both halves, especially the second half. I think it was about 73% possession they had. And they just couldn't find a way to break Atletico down. And part of that was good defending. I mean, they had shots, but a lot of them were sort of blocked shots or shots from distance, and Atletico getting bodies in the way. But yeah, Real Madrid just couldn't find that second goal. And once Ronaldo went off, you kind of wondered where it was going to come from, because he's been when he scores, Real Madrid tend to win. But when he doesn't score, when he doesn't play, they don't. I mean, the only defeat they've had in the last couple of months was when they visited Espanyol in the league and Ronaldo was rested. So when he came off for that last half an hour, there was no real obvious goal scorer contender for Real Madrid, and in the end they didn't get that second goal and it finished 1-1.
Yeah, it seems, aside from Ronaldo, it seems like the biggest sort of battle is to get into that actual starting 11 for the strikers around him, with Gareth Bale. I thought he kind of outshone Marco Asensio a bit. Asensio, just when he's not scoring goals, his impact on the team is a little bit questionable. Lucas Vazquez plugged away as per usual on Sunday, but there's a question over his injury status now and whether he'll be fit for Wednesday's game against Juventus and beyond that. Benzema and Isco were rested, so that kind of points towards them starting on Wednesday night. What did you think about Asensio then? Does he do enough in the general turnover of the game to really justify his position, or is he kind of a bit of a luxury player who, he'll score his 30 yarders and he'll make assists every now and again, but other than that, maybe doesn't contribute enough?
Yeah, I think the problem with Asensio is that, a bit like Isco, he's so often forced to play out of position. And I think we've spoken before on this podcast about how Isco plays best when he's allowed to just sort of roam behind the strikers, and that's where Asensio's at his best as well. But Real Madrid so rarely play with that formation that when they do play, on the rare occasion that they do play with that formation, it's usually to accommodate Isco and not Asensio. And so I think you always have to have that caveat when you're judging Asensio, because I think he is often asked to do things that maybe he's not the best at, just because, like you mentioned, there's so much competition to get into that starting 11 that Asensio is almost just expected to be grateful with having a place in the 11 and to sort of alter his game a little bit. He always has some moments in the game, but his ceiling is so high, but then at the same time he can also just disappear a little bit. Sometimes, through stretch of the season, he'll have a few games in a row where he's not done too much, and then also in the same game, there'll be moments where Asensio just maybe just goes missing a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, he's so young and What he's done already in his career is absolutely phenomenal. So you can't really expect that kind of consistency for a guy who's you know, whole career is ahead of him. I mean, just 22, and only just 22. And I think he had his birthday a couple of months ago. So, yeah, Asensio's got full of potential, and the good thing for Real Madrid is that more often than not, he shows some of it.
I still think Asensio's position, I mentioned it a couple of times on the show, I still think he's an out-and-out striker, Asensio, in the long term. Whether we'll see him there or not is kind of doubtful in my mind, but I'd love to see him there alongside Cristiano Ronaldo. And do you think for Wednesday's game, then, looking ahead to that quickly, it is probably going to be Benzema and Isco brought back into the team. Zidane's going to play it relatively safe with a 3-0 advantage over Juventus.
Yeah, there's no reason to not play it safe. I mean, there were some people questioning why Ronaldo's coming off with half an hour to go in the derby when you've got a 3-0 win. But at the end of the day, they're not going to win La Liga. You finish second, third or fourth in the table, you still get Champions League football. So you can't be too careful in the Champions League. I mean, we've seen some crazy comebacks over the years. Real Madrid have produced some of them themselves. So yeah, there's no reason to take that kind of risk. You've got to go for it. This is, even though it's a big lead, this is the biggest game of Real Madrid's season until they confirm a couple of semi-finals.
Yeah, I suppose the only other worry for Real Madrid going into that game is obviously Sergio Ramos is suspended. Rafael Varane had a bit of an injury worry going into the Madrid derby, but seems okay. Nacho Fernandez, meanwhile, does have an injury worry and won't be okay. Jesus Vallejo, I think they wanted to get him out there on Sunday, but couldn't. And he is injured, you know, certainly an injury doubt for Wednesday. So we might see Casemiro drop back into the centre of defence against Juventus. That would probably suit the 4-4-2 in a large sense, with Toni Kroos and Luka Modric kind of settling in as the centre midfielders, if that's how Zidane goes. They are back to fourth now, Real Madrid. Valencia have stolen it back with a 1-0 win over Espanyol on Sunday night. Do you think Real Madrid really care if they finish fourth as opposed to third? There might be some sort of pride in taking second off Atletico, but third or fourth, do you think there's any real sense of that bothering Zidane and the team?
Yeah, I think you're dead right. If getting second place was possible, then I think that would have been a real something to fight for, and you know, finish above your city rivals. But when it's Valencia, no one's going to be too embarrassed or too humiliated by finishing behind this really good Valencia team. So yeah, the difference between third and fourth isn't that great. The difference between second and third would have been something, but I think after this derby result, that's probably a little bit too much to ask for now, and the focus should just be on the Champions League.
Yeah, moving on to Atletico Madrid, who, again, it's a decent result for Atletico. Their hold on second isn't necessarily secure because, as we say, Valencia are still in the mix. But I think this game on Sunday was a real banana skin for Atletico Madrid because there wasn't that much to gain by going out all guns and risking for a win. And losing it in that sort of scenario would look very silly. They'd have potentially lost second place as well. So a 1-1 draw is just nice and steady. It wasn't, I mean, for both teams, this wasn't really the game they wanted to play.
Yeah, exactly. And it's for Atletico, it's you know, you keep your second place, you don't lose at the Bernabeu, and this is the fifth year in a row that they've not lost this fixture. I have to go back to 2012. The last time Real Madrid defeated Atletico Madrid in La Liga, which is quite some time. I mean, Real Madrid fans will point out, well, that's three Champions Leagues ago, so we don't really mind too much. But there's so much has changed since then, and you look at the Real Madrid team that started, only three players, Ronaldo, Ramos and Marcelo, that were in the starting 11, have actually ever won this fixture, a La Liga game at home to Atletico Madrid. Mm. So, for Atletico Madrid to avoid defeat, you keep up this run. I hate the term bragging rights for a derby, but basically, when I was watching it, it was a couple of Atletico fans were alongside me, a couple of old guys, and that's exactly what they said. We can go in tomorrow and not be slagged off by the Madridistas, and they both were quite happy as they walked out into the sun. So, it's an important thing in the derby, and it's really become a factor again in the last few years since Simeone's been here. It's now a big game, and nobody was too disappointed afterwards, I don't think.
Yeah, I want to have a quick word on El Clasico in a moment, because it's obviously going to be it's the first weekend of March is El Clasico, or May, sorry, first weekend of May. And Barcelona's unbeaten run is something we're going to talk about in a moment, but the Clásico for Real Madrid and potentially for Barcelona as well, it's going to be a bit of a non-event looking ahead of it, because Real Madrid, this Madrid derby was a bit of a non-event in my eyes, how the teams approached it. The Clásico, when it comes up, will be just after the second leg of a semi-final of the Champions League and I think the Europa League as well. So, is, you know, the Clásico coming up, Real Madrid sort of bragging rights, as you mentioned, for the rest of the La Liga season, kind of just fading into the background. And as such, a kind of additional point onto that, I think Valencia next weekend are going to pose a far bigger threat to Barcelona's unbeaten run than Real Madrid might do in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, bragging rights kind of idea in the Madrid derby, I think, holds a bit more weight because it's two teams in this one game, whereas with Barcelona and Real Madrid, the bragging rights are more so about the number of trophies you've won, and that will still be to play for. Barca will probably have won the league by then, might have had the Copa del Rey, and the Champions League will be all to play for. So that's really what's going to be the focus for this rivalry when we get to that Clásico. And I think you're right. You wonder how competitive it's going to be, how much it's going to matter. I mean, we all watched that Miami Clásico last summer at 3 in the morning or whatever time it was here in Spain, and thought that might be the least competitive Clásico we'd ever seen, but maybe this one at the Camp Nou will have that sort of feel, especially if it comes just after a doubleheader Clásico Champions League semi-final, because whoever's lost that won't really gain any revenge or any satisfaction from winning this one in La Liga. So yeah, this Clásico might not be the most important, might not go down in history as one to look back on once it's all said and done.
Well, there's certainly going to be one facet, or quite highly likely to be one facet of news to come out of that, and that is the Guard of Honour that has been muted over the weekend. And we'll be talking about that in a few seconds' time as we go into review Barcelona's game and their 3-1 win over Leganés. The unbeaten record in La Liga then is levelled. 38 games Real Sociedad had set over 1979-1980. Fantastic Real Sociedad side that won the league twice after that unbeaten record was broken. Barcelona are 10 points away from winning the 2017-2018 La Liga title. And Messi, Lionel Messi, is on the verge of the Pichichi as well after his hat-trick against Leganés. 29 goals he's on now. Level for the European Golden Shoe in general. 7 ahead of Cristiano Ronaldo in the La Liga stakes. What do you think about this game then, Ewan? It was always going to be a case of just about the unbeaten record, and Messi kind of made it his own and just reasserted himself. I think Messi's been a little bit quiet in the last few weeks, just reasserted himself that, yes, he is going to win the Pichichi, or highly likely to win it, and yes, Barcelona are going to cruise to this title.
Yeah, it was just a typical Messi kind of game, you know, because Suarez missed quite a few really good chances in this game, and maybe it is becoming a bit of a problem for Barcelona. I mean, I think the Messi dependence idea has been overplayed over the years, but this season more than ever, they really do seem to be missing Messi and his goals. And we had a piece on the site on Mark in English about Barca's lack of goals from midfield, and it's only Philippe Coutinho in the last few weeks, in the last sort of I think it's 16 games, it's actually scored a goal from midfield. And if Suarez isn't maybe playing as well as he was in that spell over winter, if you're not getting goals from midfield, and if Gerard Piqué isn't popping up with a wee tapping against Roma, then where's it coming from? And luckily it is coming from Messi for Barcelona. But if this injury niggle that he's been carrying over the last few weeks, if that worsens again, then you do have to worry for their chances in the Champions League, because you can maybe rely on Messi against Leganés, but if you come up against, you know, Real Madrid, Bayern, it's going to need something a bit more. He's going to need a supporting cast, you think?
Yeah, we had on Mark in English over the weekend, we had a piece from Pablo Aguirre who said that it was Lionel Messi who scored a hat-trick to make the record possible, and such is his importance to the Blaugrana, he deserves a guard of honour every single day. There are no more adjectives left to describe Messi. He continues to carry Barcelona in terms of goal scoring, and he's fundamental in every single match the club plays. Let's get on to this guard of honour controversy then. I must admit, I was sitting there on Saturday, I think it was, when Zinedine Zidane had his press conference, waiting for it to come in. You know, usually get a headline about the derby or maybe about a player injury. Headline I saw was about the Guard of Honour, and I thought, where has this come from? Why is this being discussed now? And Zidane says that he doesn't want to do it because Barcelona supposedly broke the tradition after the Club World Cup. Sergio Ramos has said that it wouldn't be disrespectful to not do it. Well, I mean, why is this suddenly an issue? And I mean, I'm a bit disappointed by it because I think the Guard of Honour, certainly in English football, where I sort of grew up, it was, you know, you do it. It's sort of non-negotiable. And now it's become a thing to play around with in the fans and to mock each other with. It's kind of not what I want it to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's supposed to be something that honours the champions. It's supposed to be a tribute for a team that's already won something or that's just won a trophy. It's supposed to be something to honour their achievement. Whereas nowadays, and I think it's maybe partly the whole social media thing, and you know it's all going to get put into a meme, and it's now more so a way to humiliate the team having to do it. And when that's, you know, Barcelona, I think host Real Sociedad on the last day, I mean, they'll have to do it and no one will care. No one will be slagging off Real Sociedad players for having to stand and applaud Barcelona onto the pitch. But when it's Real Madrid, logically, it has a different feel to it, and it's a bit sad because the focus should be on Barcelona having won the league and the fact they'll have won it so early, but instead the focus will be on, you know, they'll be zooming in on what's Ramos's face like as he has to watch Piqué walk past, and that's just all a bit sad, I think.
Yeah, it's a shame really because, as you say, the focus should be on the winners. It's going to be on the losers, and that's kind of how I suppose the media has a role to play in that as well. And there's undoubtedly going to be loads of articles on Marco English over the next few weeks as we look ahead to it. And I think this is, you can say that the media has a role to play in it, but I ultimately think it lies with the players. And if the players and the clubs rise above that and they say, you know what, we're just going to respect some winners, we're going to shake their hand and that's fair enough, then that will dictate how the media does it. But if the players and clubs are going to be a bit petty about it, then it's going to come across that way in the media as well. So it's one to keep an eye on ahead. We've got a few weeks now till the Clásico in La Liga to really think about that one. Quick word on the Champions League then. If there was any one tie that you think there's going to be a comeback in the midweek, what one do you think it will be? We've got 3-goal margins in all but one of the games, and the other one is Bayern Munich hosting Sevilla, which would still be a massive shock if Sevilla can come back at the Allianz Arena. Which one game do you think is quite likely to have a massive comeback in it?
Yeah, I think the only one that I can maybe see a comeback is the all-English one. Man City at home, I mean, on their day could put 6 or 7 goals past anybody, so we'll see how that one goes. And the tie that's mathematically closest is that one you mentioned, Sevilla-Bayern Munich. But if Sevilla can go away to Balaidos, and, you know, it's not the most atmospheric ground in La Liga, if they can go there and lose 4-0 at the weekend, then oof, you can only imagine what awaits them at the Allianz Arena, which I think is one of the very toughest away days in Champions League football.
Yeah, that's Wednesday night is Sevilla go to Bayern Munich. Also on that night, Real Madrid host Juventus with a 3-goal margin. Tuesday night sees Barcelona go to Roma with a 4-1 margin. City hosting Liverpool that same night, 3-0 as we say. And for me, I think, yeah, it has to be City-Liverpool is the one you look at. Don't rule out Juventus is a thing that I would say as well, because we saw Real Madrid almost got caught by Atletico last year in the semi-finals, having had a 3-goal lead to kick off with. There's always that little chance, and as I say, no Sergio Ramos, always a slight chance of that. But I mean, ultimately, you are looking at a very straightforward Tuesday and Wednesday evening. But Thursday evening, however, has the Europa League. A little bit more interesting, so we'll be focusing on that at the final part of the show in a few seconds' time. Atletico Madrid go to Lisbon to face Sporting CP on Thursday, and Sporting are quite frankly in crisis mode. The president, Bruno de Carvalho, has railed against his 19 first team players who have criticised the president for in turn criticising the team, and they've kind of dropped off form lately and had that 2-0 defeat at the Wanda Metropolitano in the first leg. They beat Paços de Ferreira 2-0 on Sunday night with the Abola, the Portuguese newspaper, the headline they had was "All Against Bruno" after that game. This surely makes it a bit of a shoo-in for Atletico. There's no way that a team in such turmoil is going to overturn a 2-0 deficit.
You surely wouldn't think so. Although, if you're talking about squad turmoil, until last week, Atletico Madrid were probably the one with the biggest squad turmoil, because after selling three players in February, even after the January window, after picking up a whole load of injuries, a few suspensions as well, Atletico Madrid, you know, just last week had only 12 senior players available for their game. I think it was the Deportivo one. So I think Sport Lisbon have looked at that and seen, you've only got 12 first-team players available. Hold my beer, please. And they've just taken it an extra step. So, yeah, I mean, the 2-0 home win is certainly not insurmountable in European football. But when you've got a crisis like this, even if the first-team players do come back and do feature in this second leg, it doesn't seem like they're giving themselves the best environment to focus on pulling off a comeback and one away goal, I'm sure, for Atletico Madrid would essentially kill the tie.
Yeah, the Sporting players did play on Sunday night, so I think they probably will be available on Thursday. Bruno de Carvalho says that disciplinary proceedings have begun, so who knows, maybe they'll be done by Thursday, maybe they won't. Moving on to the semi-finals then, who do you think Atletico would want? I mean, Arsenal, I think man-to-man can probably match Atletico, but there's certainly no chance they'll match them tactically or motivationally, shall we say. They're pretty much cruising past CSKA Moscow. Lazio should get past Salzburg, and Lazio, quite like Marseille, and Marseille have to overturn a one-goal deficit away to Leipzig on Thursday. All those games kicking off at 9:05 CET. Which of those teams do you think they'd rather avoid? Because Marseille and Lazio, there's a real raucous atmosphere that you could have a second leg sort of comeback mentality. Might be really dangerous for Atletico there.
Yeah, Lazio is an interesting one because I think matchup-wise, I mean, Atletico tend to do quite well against teams that score a lot of goals, like Lazio do. And Atletico, they've sort of been undone this season by teams that almost play a kind of Atletico-ish system, such as Espanyol or Villarreal. So I think they would rather just take their chances against a high-powered attack and feel confident that they've got the defenders to stop it and the firepower at the other end. I think Atletico might actually like to get Arsenal in the semi-finals if they can, because I think Atletico will be confident that they are a better team than Arsenal, that they can beat Arsenal. But if that sort of, and I guess they're the two big favourites left, if that sort of showdown is postponed to the final, then anything can happen over 90 minutes in a neutral venue. But if you can sort of take 180 minutes, I think Atletico would be confident that over two legs, their superior quality to Arsenal would shine through. So yeah, I wonder if Atletico might actually be sort of crossing their fingers and hope they can get this Arsenal tie in the semi-finals and you know, slowly, just very slowly, you know, do the damage to Arsenal and make it through to a much more winnable final.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense, actually. Getting Arsenal out the way is probably a thing that Simeone would like to do. And as you say, over 90 minutes, Arsenal are the biggest threat, I think, to Atletico. Definitely agree with that. So next weekend then in La Liga, just a quick run over what sort of fixtures we got ahead of us. Girona versus Real Betis on Friday the 13th. That's a big game. Real Betis up to fifth now. If they win that, that's a real sort of bullet hole in the Girona chances of getting into Europe, and massive for Real Betis, who have won four straight games in La Liga. Saturday afternoon as well, a couple of big games there. Sevilla hosting Villarreal, sixth against seventh. Barcelona hosting Valencia, first against third. And then on Sunday, the real game to look out for, I suppose you'd probably say it's Malaga versus Real Madrid at the Sunday evening game. Malaga on the verge of relegation. I don't think it can be done quite on that match day, but it will be done soon, having them lost away to Deportivo La Coruña this Friday night. So that ends this episode of Eye on La Liga, Market English's official podcast. Keep an eye on the website for all the goings on in the midweek games and the weekend, of course. And thanks for joining us, Ewan.
No problem, a pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll be back next week then to talk about exactly how everything has unfolded in Europe and Spain and beyond. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.